At the end of the message, you'll have an opportunity to talk briefly with those who are around you about the message. So as you listen, listen with those ears to participate in a few moments. Well, recently a person told me about a Facebook friend request they had that went wrong. And so they said, you know, how do I know that they're okay? How do I know if I should friend someone or not friend someone? So here's my advice, okay? Don't accept any Facebook friend request from Hormel Foods. It might be spam. Don't accept a Facebook friend request from the Hokey Pokey man. He might want an arm and a leg. And don't accept any Facebook friend request from John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. If you do, his name will become your name too. Now the question of the day is this: can love overcome hate? There's uncertainty about this in our day. So what do you think? Who says yes, love can overcome hate? Who says no, love can't overcome hate? Who says probably not in my lifetime? What do you think? I mean, how do we help people believe that love can overcome hate who have lost people to extreme acts of hate, such as terrorist attacks or crime or random shootings? Some of the less extreme examples are times when you have been manipulated, when you've been cheated or criticized too harshly, when you're backstabbed or when someone betrays you. It's always empowering to hate the person who has hurt you, right? How can we help people who deal with these, even people who may live with these on a daily basis in their home or at their place of work or in school? So there is a lot of love and there is a lot of hate in our world, and sometimes the forces of hate and evil seem to be greater than the pull of love. I think all people, whether they're strong Christians or nominal Christians or people of another faith or people who don't see themselves as people of any faith, still have a hope that good will overcome evil, that bad will lose, and that love will overcome hate. I believe that most people hope that love will win and hate will be conquered. Hate is a complex subject, okay? Threat is another word that we could use. Okay, there are two different categories. There's rational and irrational hatred, and there's conditional and unconditional hatred. Okay, think about the types of hate that you have encountered in your life. Conditional hate, for example, is hate that lasts as long as the condition does, but no longer. It's conditioned. For example, someone is stealing your stuff. Okay? A yard flag is missing. Then a potted plant. Then a lawnmower. The person is caught. And the stealing ends. And life goes on, and you choose whether or not to relive it and rehearse it, and you choose whether or not to harbor hate, but the condition for the hate is gone. That's an example of conditional hate. There's rational hate, if you will, based on some justifiable logic or reason or fear. This type of rational hate can be reasoned with, and it can be brought to an end too. I'll go to our American history for an example. After the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor, FDR placed Japanese families in internment camps, right? For 3 years. We hated the Japanese for bombing Pearl Harbor, right? But we took it a step more. We believe that all Japanese in America were suddenly secret spies, infiltrating our communities, here to destroy us because, well, hey, the Empire of Japan attacked us by surprise. So we forced 120,000 people into isolated camps. FDR saw them as a national security threat. That's an example of rational hate. And then it came to an end. The war came to an end. There was lingering apprehension in our society, some lingering fear and threat. But today, hey, assimilation of Japanese Americans into American society is complete. And no one thinks that way anymore, right? There's irrational hate. Hate that's often based on an incomplete knowledge of a person or of a group. Whether it's race or religion or sexual orientation or national origin, sexist slurs, racist slurs are examples of irrational hate. There's rational hate that's unjustifiable. It lives by myths, unproven stories, hearsay, gossip, though we've never had any really direct personal encounter with it. And then there is unconditional, irrational hatred that persists. It cannot be reasoned with. There is seemingly nothing that no one can do about it. It's there and it seems to be persistent. If you're interested in learning anything more about this, I would recommend to you the 7-stage hate model that our FBI uses. It's fantastic information and template for us to understand hate behaviors, not only on a worldwide basis or even in our own society, but individually as well, and how that escalates in an individual person. But our passage here today says that whatever type of hate or fear or threat we have, we say, if God is for us, who can be against us? That we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, and that nothing in creation will be able to separate us from Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you this morning that love can overcome hate. We still have terrorism and betrayal, and there will still be manipulators and evil and disease until we leave this world or until Jesus comes, right? But love can overcome hate, and good can overcome evil. But it's not going to happen just because we come to church and listen to sermons and nice music and sing songs. It's not going to happen just because we sit in the same place in our class or sit in our same pew in worship or go to youth group or serve in a ministry. All of us can agree these things are good. All of us can agree that things might even be essential to be part of growing as a disciple, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Love will overcome hate as each one of us receives Jesus Christ, and not in a nominal way, but as we actively live our life in Him, His examples, His ways, His blessings, His teachings, and we stay rooted and be built up in Him and His church, because no one can be a Christian, no one can be a Christ follower on their own. You know, if Jesus came to earth and said, I can do all this by myself, y'all just sort of sit down, take it easy, then He wouldn't have called 12 disciples. He wouldn't have sent 70 out 2 by 2 to the surrounding towns. He just would have said, I'll do it, I'll take care of it. I've come, the answer's here. No one can be a Christ follower on their own. I also want to be clear about this. It's not wise to go out and do anything for God without first praying about it. Okay? We have to have the right mind and the right heart in anything that we attempt to do. And I believe the people of Bethany have the right heart and have the right mind about missions and service. You know, as I was talking with the kids up here about different ways that we can show love and how helping and kindness can be one of the ways that we show love. Caring and loving enough to stay connected is another way to show love, isn't it? And it's a challenge today. Even with everything at our disposal, it's still difficult to stay connected. Think of the effort that it takes you to stay connected with your family, with your friends, with your high school classmates, with former coworkers. Hard to believe that Christmas is just around the corner. Some of you still send Christmas cards. And you need to update your list, don't you? You need to find people again so that you can send the card. It won't be sent back to you. Staying connected is a way that we show love and care to one another. Staying connected is a way that we show love and care here at Bethany. But it's not going to happen just because a person's name is on the church roll. You know, one of our tasks as a church for the remainder of 2018 and going forward into 2019 will be to connect with people that we've lost touch with. We have 32 people on our baptized roll. That's roughly a third of our baptized roll. 32 people from ages 7 to 33. We have absolutely no way to contact them. From ages 7 to 33. There are 30 plus people on our professing membership roll, and probably more. These are just the ones that I and your staff and you have discovered just in the brief time. For others, all we have is a family member contact, and sometimes that's not up to date. Your help is needed. See, how can we meet and care and love people who have a relationship with Christ and who are part of Bethany Church if we can't find them? How can we know and help them if we can't contact them? I apologize if I sound fussy about this morning, but I think it's important to try to stay connected. It takes two to have a connection, right? It takes two to have a conversation. I think it ought to be a minimum expectation of members to be in touch at least once a year with Bethany. If it's nothing more than a 10-second phone call that says, hello, I'm ya-ya-ya, I'm doing fine, leave me alone, I'll talk to you next year, goodbye. Even if it's that much. But something, a standard. And I guess I'm going on this morning because I feel like the father in the story of the prodigal son. My spiritual children, my family is out there somewhere, and I haven't heard from them. Anybody here know that feeling? I hope they're okay. I hope that hate has not overcome good in their lives. All of us are growing. I'm not perfect. Golly, you've been around me for a year and a half now. You certainly know that. That should have at least gotten 10 amens, if not 21. But, you know, I've seen a mistake that I've made today, and I've made that same oversight ever since I arrived in July of 2017, and it has to deal with our bulletin. I haven't been putting our mission statement in our bulletin. And to me, that just ought to be standard. And I have overlooked that and made a mistake on that continuously. Our mission statement is the church with open doors, open minds, and open hearts. I think that's important enough for people to see every Sunday, don't you? That should be standard. I apologize for that. I'll correct that. It's on our church stationery. It's on our website. Our mission statement, open doors, open minds, open hearts, is actually a reversal play on the United Methodist Church media and advertising slogan that is open minds, open hearts, and open doors. That made its debut way back in 2001. So we got some old content in our mission statement. It's still good. Our website says the church with open hearts, minds, and doors. So, you know, it's sort of a, you know, all mixed up there. But I submit this to you this morning. Love will overcome hate as each one of us receives Jesus Christ. As we live our life in Him, and by Him I mean His example, His love, His teachings, and we stay rooted and built up in Him and His church, which is the bride of Christ. That's what we're here for. To help one another with getting started and the building up and the getting established in the faith and the continuing in the faith, so that when the storms of life happen, like hate, we have confidence, we have peace, we have joy, we have resources, an inner joy, and a thankful heart. Open hearts, open minds, open doors. I think for some it means everyone is welcome. We do want everyone to feel welcome and to be welcomed at Bethany. I think it also means knowing the heart of God and keeping our focus on Jesus. That should always, always be our starting spot, because we can't overcome our hate, our human mistakes, our sin with our own powers and our own abilities. But we are to look to the one who has already forgiven our mistakes, who understands that we're growing, to Jesus who died and was resurrected and ascended into heaven, and who by faith lives in our hearts and in our minds, and who has already overcome and vanquished evil, who has cleansed us from our sin and our oversights and forgiven us, who has gone ahead of us to prepare a way for us, who has given us the gift of eternal life for this world and for the next. Amen. And in response to that, Jesus sends us into the world with a message of faith and hope and love for all people. Love can overcome hate. And sometimes we say, well, how do you account for all the hate in the world? How did all this hate get here? My answer to that is we're part of unredeemed humanity, and we live in an unredeemed world. But I would also say this: hate has been defeated, but not destroyed. That's pretty good. Thank you, Lord. Write that down. That's good. Hate has been defeated, but not destroyed. Pure evil has been defeated, but there are still some lingering effects of it. The devil has been defeated, but not destroyed. He still roams around. Here's something that our students deal with a lot in our schools today. Can a good kid overcome a bully? I think the answer is yes. Can a bully overcome his or her behavior? I think the answer is yes. Because God is in the change business if love is allowed to enter into that situation. Can youth overcome temptation to have sex before marriage? I think the answer is yes. Jesus never said it would be easy. You know, I've been watching the baseball series and football games. We'll watch some this afternoon. You know, some teams will lose and be defeated in the first half, and then you notice they'll come back in the second half and play better. Some baseball teams will not do so well in the early innings, but as the game goes on, they'll gain some momentum and they'll be better towards the end of the game, or vice versa. Some teams will lose that game, and then they'll come back stronger in the next game. And as I watched that, I thought, that's how hate is in our world. And that's how love is in our world. Hate's going to win some innings, but they're not going to win the whole ball game. And likewise, we're going to do really well with love in some areas of our life, and maybe not so good in others. We'll need to do a comeback. But we'll have to get up every day and fight. We'll have to get up every day and fight. Let me offer this to you. It's possible to be disapproving of others and to be intolerant of others without proclaiming hate to them. Think about it. It's possible to disapprove, even to be intolerant, without hating. Hating sounds real harsh, doesn't it? You say, well, how can that be? Let me offer four things and then it's done. First of all, you can disapprove and you can choose to be intolerant without hating. If you'll think and pray about what you say before you say it. Okay? Before you text it or snap it or tweet it or talk to someone. And there's a time and place for everything, to listen, to be silent, to offer a helpful criticism, to take a stand, to apologize, to forgive, to receive forgiveness, to accept an apology. There's a time for everything. But we also have to come to a point in our life where we have to hate evil. And again, hate is a strong word. I understand that. Paul says in Romans 12:9, let love be genuine, hate what is evil. Do you hate what is evil? Think about something in your life or something that you just have as part of your value system that you really despise, that you would guard to the teeth. Your children, your grandchildren, your reputation, whatever it might be, there are things in your life that you probably hate. Paul also says, hold fast to what is good. Hold fast to what is good. And then also try to outdo one another in showing honor. It's all in that same passage. A present word would be appreciation. Outdo one another in showing how appreciative you are to those around you. That is one another way that love can overcome hate. Show appreciation. Count others better than yourselves. I'll stop there. Take a few minutes. Think about this. I invite you to talk with those around you. We'll take a few minutes to do this. Talk about this with those who are around you. You have permission to talk with those around you. How can love overcome hate? How does love overcome hate? Lots of love. Keep pouring and pouring and pouring the love on. Say it again, please.
As we receive Jesus Christ.
As Christ lives in us, and there's more Christ in me, you know. So when you leave from here, when you go to work tomorrow, you know, if there's too much hell in your hello, okay, then we got something to work on, right? Let love be genuine, pour on the love. All right, who else? Take a moment and try to think about what you're going to say. And you know, part of kindness is caring for the other person, right? It's caring about how they feel. So not just how it sounds in our own stereo head, but how do I think this other person might receive it, okay? Yes. Less of us, more of him, okay? Which is the road that we're all on. We're all on that road. Yeah. Anybody else? Can I lead us in a brief prayer right now? What I'm going to ask you to do is just sort of bow your head. And I want you just to bring, just allow the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind a circumstance where you were the recipient of hate. And I want you to imagine again just the pieces of that circumstance, that story. Imagine the person's face. Maybe it's connected to a person or persons. Maybe they said something or did something. And right now, would you just sort of, in your own silent prayer, just give that over to the Lord. Just give it to him and say, I'm tired of it, Lord. I am tired. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I give it to you by faith. And then in that place, in that vacuum that it leaves, just ask him to put more of your love, more of your grace, Lord, more of your word. Father, I pray that you'll hear the prayers today, that you will release us, Lord, from hate and hurt and evil in our lives, whether our participation in it, knowingly or unknowingly, or the times that we were recipients of it, Lord. And that you would give us a new freedom and a new heart and a new mind and just a new door for our life that we might make friends again or become more social again, whatever it is, you know, Lord. And we thank you for your assurance that you're always with us, that you know the things we struggle with. You know the things that confound us. And you know the things that make our heart leap too. All these things we pray in your name. Amen.